The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Since I was 10 years old, I have been a political current events junkie. And since being a priest, I have always hoped that after a contentious couple of weeks, as we've seen in the news, we might get in the gospel a nice, tranquil message that is not controversial in any way, shape, matter, or form. Unfortunately, we aren't getting that. Because I think we could all agree, in the last few years, the subject of marriage and matrimony has been a very contentious topic. Many people, many different areas of our society, have debated the issue at all levels of society. And don't worry, I'm not going to get political here. But I think I'm convinced that the different angles, the different camps of this debate will never, ever agree, will never reconcile, because they keep coming from very different reference points or different angles. I mean, they may cross over, but they will never intersect because they come from various frames of references and so on. But I often wonder if it perhaps was not the same at the time of Jesus, that marriage was just as hot a topic in his time as it is in ours. Because in the Gospels, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus addresses the subject of matrimony three times. And in each time, he addresses it from a different angle. Of course, we know the angles today. We hear it with regard to constitutional right or legal protections or love. But Jesus addresses it from the standpoint of faith and God's involvement in it. In one of the times he addresses it, he tells the parable of the woman who married a man and he died without having any children, so she married his brother, who in turn died, and after marrying his other brothers, they all died childless until the woman died, and they asked him, "Whose wife is she in the kingdom that is to come?" And Jesus points out a misunderstanding that they have and the relationship of marriage to eternal life. In another place, Jesus speaks of it not in terms of any legal protection or obligation or in terms of a legal right, but he says there are those who are called to marry, there are those who renounce marriage for the sake of the kingdom, and there are those who are made incapable of marriage from birth. And then he says, "Let those who can accept this teaching do so." And he doesn't mean it in terms of I like the teaching, so I'm going to accept it, or I don't like the teaching, so I'm going to reject it. He basically means those for whom this teaching is relevant. And so he's speaking in this case of marriage not as a legal institution, but as a vocation, a calling. One that not everyone has, starting with yours truly. I am not called to marriage. So on the one hand, he speaks of it in its relationship in this world to preparation for the kingdom of heaven. In another, he speaks of it in terms of vocation and calling. In today's gospel, he speaks of it in terms of permanence, the permanence of marriage, with the question that they bring to him right from the outset. Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? But he knows that they're testing him, so he probably set them up. Because what does he say, and how do they answer? He'll say, well, Moses permitted it. And remember, Moses is the highest authority in the Jewish faith, as Jesus is the highest authority in our faith, or at least in this earth, the Holy Father with the bishops are the highest authorities here. And they immediately say, well, Moses allowed that a bill of divorce could be written, to which Jesus, perhaps ready for that, says, well, he said that because you were so stubborn and hard of heart. Ouch. It's kind of a bit of a warning, I suppose, to any of us, because we often hear from some people with rather contentious teachings in the church, either just ones that aren't popular or socially acceptable, politically incorrect, or just plain hard. Sometimes we might hear people say, well, I wish the church would change this teaching, or maybe the Pope should change that teaching. And that brief passage might give us a bit of a warning. That teaching might change, but that doesn't necessarily mean God's pleased with it. Because after all, Moses allowed for something, but Jesus said that's not from the beginning. And again, here Jesus speaks in terms of nature when he speaks of marriage, and he speaks of the permanence. What God has brought together, let no one put asunder. Notice, love never seems to come in any of the times that Jesus speaks of marriage. He never brings up the subject of love. That's in other places in the scripture, but Jesus himself never brings it up. But rather, he speaks of it in relation to the preparation for the kingdom of heaven, a calling and a vocation that we receive from God, and the permanent nature of it, that God brings the husband and wife together. And we certainly can think of people who we honor greatly, perhaps some we know here, who have lived that sacrament in fidelity and love for so many years. I remember the late radio commentator Paul Harvey, who during his midday report would often say, congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Smith in Billings, Montana, who are celebrating their wedding plus 75 years. And you think, wow, people who have been married that long. I mean, it makes me wonder, do they even remember not knowing each other? And a complete dedication. And in one case, someone commented to a couple celebrating their 65th anniversary. I was present for the celebration. And they said, what impresses everyone is you not only still love each other, but you're still in love with each other. And it speaks, I think, to how we approach marriage as a people of faith. And that is, we see it as a witness and as an evangelization, as it is a calling. It's an evangelization. Now, I like to point out, sometimes to see if I can provoke a double take on some people, that the seven sacraments, all of them, one way or another, reflect the life of Christ. Christ was baptized. Christ forgave sins. He bestowed forgiveness and gave that charism to the church. He gave us his body and blood. He bestowed the Holy Spirit. He healed the sick. He is our high priest. And Jesus is married. Note, I did not say was married, that Jesus is married. And we read that in the book of Revelation, where it speaks of the wedding feast of the Lamb as a present reality, and the Lamb, of course, being Jesus. It says, the bride has prepared to welcome him. She has clothed herself in the white garments that are the good deeds of God's holy people. And that gives us a clue as to who is the bride of the Lamb, who is the bride of Christ. And that is the church. The two vocational sacraments, holy orders and matrimony, are not about Christ's life on earth, as we have baptism, forgiveness of sins, healing, and so on, but in terms of his life in heaven, that he is our high priest reigning from heaven, and I share that priesthood in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. I'm nothing without the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And a husband and wife are called to bear witness to evangelize the great love that Christ has for his bride, the church. So when you see couples continuing on in love, even after so many years, anniversaries, in many ways it's a point of faith to say, God must truly love his people because see how much these two love each other, for better, for worse, through thick and thin. And that is how we understand the sacrament of matrimony as a people of faith. It is a calling and an evangelization. In the Old Testament, it reflected the covenant relationship between God and his holy people, Israel. And for us of the New Testament, who are followers of Christ, it is an evangelization and a witness of Christ's tremendous love for his church, for whom he gave his life by dying on the cross. And so how do we deal with the controversies that we see today, with the angle with which we as people of faith approach marriage? I don't know that I really have any answers to that. I'll leave that to the politicians, the voters, the judges, and the leadership in society. And as always, I'll be there in front of the television at the edge of my seat, taking it in, watching however it turns out, because let's face it, folks, that's my soap opera. That's my Super Bowl. But we as a people of faith perhaps can do more for the sacrament of marriage as that witness, to pray for those who are called to this great sacrament, to reflect God's love as they do so with one another, and extend that love to their children, passing on that faith as missionaries to their children who hear this faith for the first time from their parents. That we live that calling of matrimony faithfully in love and fidelity, bearing witness to the love of God reflected and evangelized in this sacrament. And perhaps in that way we will see the true witness, the true message of what God has called humanity to from the very beginning, as we hear in our first reading. It is not right for the man to be alone. And this is why the two become one flesh. For what God has joined together, let no one separate.